We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We have a fantastic four-game slate on divisional weekend in the NFL. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, all coming up next. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. We are sponsored by WynnBET. We have been all season long. We appreciate them for that. If you could please rate and review the podcast, that'd be fantastic. Also, I am Scott Jensen, joined as always on Friday mornings by Ryan Belongi. We are going to be talking the four divisional games this week. After a weekend of blowouts and big spreads, we've got four really good games. The highest spread's 5.5. We have three games with the spreads under four. This should be a really fun weekend. Ryan, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah. Last week, not many close games. You know, all the chalk won or all the favorites won. But the good thing about that is now we have all great games this weekend.
I feel like you're throwing some shade already saying all the favorites won when you know there was one underdog that won.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. The 49ers looked really good for the majority of the game. Pulled the upset of the Cowboys.
And then looked really bad for like 12 minutes.
Yeah, Jimmy almost gave it away, that interception he threw. I couldn't believe that. The Niners are looking pretty good. I'm a bit worried about my Packers.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a Packers fan. I'm a big Niners fan. I think we're both pretty hardcore about our fandom on those teams. So we're definitely battling this week. It should be fun. We've got that. We got the Rams and the Bucks. We've got Cincy and Tennessee. We got Buffalo and KC, kind of like the big marquee game in a weekend of marquee games. I mean, it's funny. You look at the receivers in these games. Like, it's just so fun. You have Chase and A.J. Brown. Then you have Debo and Devontae. Then you got Kupp and Mike Evans. Then you got Diggs and Tyreek Hill. Like, it's just a murderer's row of great quarterbacks, great receivers. The running backs are a little bit weird this week. We're going to talk about that a bunch, but there's not like, you know, you can't just put Christian McCaffrey and you can't just put Alvin Kamara in. There's like a lot of kind of mid-range guys you got to play. But the receivers are so good that some of them are priced way down in a DFS slate. It's a really interesting slate for four games. I found it to be a lot more interesting than I'm usually seeing on a short slate.
Yeah, I agree. Those receivers, there's so many good ones spoiled for options. And a lot of there's some soft pricing, especially at receiver. So you're going to have to fade, you know, some great players and some great plays. Basically, take some stands and hope it goes your way.
Yeah, I mean, on a four-game slate, you're usually like, oh, I can just play who I want. I don't have to worry about sitting guys. But, like, I just listed eight receivers, and you can only play three or four of them. So you're going to leave a lot of good players, a lot of interesting games on the sideline. But that's what we're here to talk about. So let's talk about the games real quick first. We've got the first Saturday game, Cincy at Tennessee, which is like a 9,000% slam dunk to be the early Saturday game of these four games. Cincy is an underdog. They're traveling to Nashville. Tennessee's favored by 3.5. Over-under this game is 47.5. It's funny. You look at like weighted DVOA, just looking for like team strength. I know that's just one stat, but you've got eight teams, and six of them are inside the top eight of weighted DVOA this weekend. This game features neither of those. So this is definitely the game where, you know, it's a little bit lesser teams, but Tennessee earned that number one seed. They beat Kansas City. They beat Buffalo. Like, you can't say they got lucky, but they're 13th in weighted DVOA. Cincinnati's 14th. This is the only game that the teams haven't played yet this season too. It's the only non-rematch game, which is kind of interesting. Bengals have never won a road playoff game in the history of their franchise, which is a crazy stat to me. They're 0-7. You know, the Titans, for what you want to say, they're 8-3 against teams with winning records. They've won games they're supposed to. They beat the Bills, the Chiefs, they beat the Niners. So they got a lot of really good wins. And Derrick Henry's back this week too. So this game gets a little spicier when you add the big guy in the mix.
Yeah. So I like both of these teams. I think more than the public throughout the year. And I like this game specifically, I think more than the Niners Packers game and more than the Rams Buccaneers game, at least for DFS. Nice. Derrick Henry coming back. That's interesting. You know, he's cheaper than we've seen him. And apparently he's healthy. I don't think he's going to be as popular as the other cheaper running backs. So I think, you know, it makes sense for tournaments. And I'm going to have a tough time not going back to Burrow and the Bengals passing game here. He's just looked amazing. I'm a big believer in Burrow and his receivers. You know, I want to roster Chase again. I think AJ Brown is a great price for a run back. There's some cheaper Bengals. You know, you can go back to T. Higgins. Some people might not want to after he let, you know, everybody down last week, but it's kind of the story of the year with Higgins. If you've been willing to go back to him, you've been rewarded. And I guess I kind of, you know, from a betting standpoint, the three other totals besides the KC Buffalo game are all about the same, 47, 48. And I kind of like this game to go over. You know, I think it's a bit low because, you know, it's Tennessee with Henry back. And, you know, one scenario is a lot of running with Henry if it's successful and running the clock. But I don't know. I just see both these offenses scoring points. So this is kind of a game I want to target. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I like that. That's a good take right there out the gate. That's it's funny. You mentioned the three games kind of clumped together. I was going to note that later, but you know, Buffalo and Kansas City is an over-under of 53.5. Obviously people expect a lot of fireworks with, you know, probably the two best fantasy quarterbacks in that game. And then the other three games, you're right, kind of, they're all not low, but they're all 47, 48. So that's good. I think that a key of this week is trying to figure out which of those three games you really want to target. And finding Cincinnati and Tennessee, if you like that one, that's a really good way to go, because I think everybody will be enthralled by the sexy names in the NFC games. If you can get, and it's also the first game, like people don't want to blow other players the first game, which is kind of silly. I should say we're discussing this slate as one slate. Most of the big, there are slates for showdown. There's two game slates in each day, but most of the big slates like on DraftKings are the full slate, which I do like. I'm glad we get the four game slate rather than a couple of twos. In the afternoon / evening on Saturday, we have the 49ers headed to Lambeau. Green Bay favored by 5.5. Over under here is 47. Both these teams are high up there in weighted DVOA. The Niners are fifth. The Packers are eighth. The Packers are getting healthy, though, I think is the key to this game. Za'Darius Smith is going to be back. Jair Alexander's probably going to be back. Bakhtiari on the offensive line is probably going to play. He played the last game a little bit. So this Packers defense has been kind of much maligned, especially late, but they're getting some of their really important pieces back. I think injury plays a huge part of this game to see how the 49ers can hang in this game. Jimmy Garoppolo now has a strained shoulder. He's going to play. It's just a matter of how effectively he said it affected him in the second half. You mentioned that interception late in the fourth quarter. Like, that was an egregious pass in a time when you're up 16. Like, you just can't make that mistake and really put Dallas back in the game. You know, then they had an overthrow on Brandon Ayuk too, that he completes it. They're up 16. It's like a 30-yard pass. The game's over too. So there's a couple of mistakes that they got by with last week against the Cowboys, cannot get by with at Lambeau. Like, if we get two or three bad Garoppolo mistakes like that, it'll be a wrap. And, you know, Rodgers will score touchdowns. He's not going to get field goals. He's not going to have drive stalls. So you can't make those mistakes. And then on defense, Nick Bosa is in the concussion protocol. I don't think they can win this game without him. I think if he's out, I think the game is pretty much, I mean, you never know with turnovers and stuff, but I think he is monumentally important to the 49ers having a chance this game, because they have to rush Rodgers. They have to get there without blitzing. And then Fred Warner hurt his ankle, and I thought he hurt his knee. Like, the way he grabbed at it in the game, it was like 8 minutes left in the game, but he's supposedly going to play. We'll see how healthy he is. But fun game, you and I battling. You know, the Packers have beat them the last two regular season games. The Niners have eliminated Rodgers three times in the playoffs. So, like, I think Rodgers wants this game a freaking ton.
Yeah, I think he does too. He loves playing San Fran. Yeah. That was a fantastic breakdown.
Thank you.
I agree. The Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, that's the key. That's the key for the Niners to stay in it if they can get to Rodgers. And Bosa looks as good as just about any defensive lineman. Like,
by the way, him not getting first or second team All Pro. I think I don't really care about All Pro and Pro Bowls and stuff, but like him not getting one of the first two teams is absolutely. There are a lot of good pass rushers, but he is definitely among the elite.
Yeah, that's it seems ludicrous to me. I mean, you just watch him and he passes the eye test more than almost any other rusher. Definitely makes me nervous for Rodgers. From a DFS perspective, the cold temperatures worry me slightly. I guess it like could be like as low as zero. Again, that's not the biggest thing. We've seen, you know, teams like the Bills go out and put up tons of points in the cold. Rodgers, the Packers, they're used to the cold. Part of the reason why I was leaning towards the Cincinnati-Tennessee game over this game, I think both the Niners and Packers want to slow it down. If they get the lead, you know, run a lot of play clock, run the ball, short passes from Rodgers and the Packers. They're really good at keeping time of possession. The Niners, I think they want to run Eli Mitchell. I think they want to get the ball to Debo as much as possible, sort of limit what Jimmy G has to do. And the pieces, you know, that you would want to roster are expensive in that game. Devontae Adams, I still think he's a great play. I think he's seen at least 10 targets in 5 straight playoff games. And, you know, Rodgers is going to focus on him here. Debo's expensive, too. So, I mean, I want to roster those guys. I just don't know about stacking that game up. I don't know if it doesn't seem to have the greatest chance to shoot out. But there's some pieces in there worthy of rostering. Eli Mitchell also. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, and it's weird. It's the one game where like game flow is going to absolutely dictate what happens here. Like if the Niners get up early, like then suddenly Rodgers and Devontae become really exciting. Cause I don't think the 49ers can stop Devontae. Have not stopped Devontae in the past. He's got like 5 games in a row where I'll get to the stat later. We do wide receivers, but I think it's 130 plus yards in 4 of those 5 or something like that. It's they just can't cover him and nobody can, but the 49ers especially can't. But the Niners are going to want to run the ball and they're going to, you know, everybody saw that game 2 years ago in the NFC Championship game where they literally ran the ball over and over and over for 8 to 10 yards a pop. And I think they'd love to do that. I think that the teams are different. The players are different. There's no Raheem Mostert, but I think that, you know, they're going to try and establish that. I think Shanahan always says, if I run the ball 30 times, that means we had a good chance to win. And I think they're going to really try and force that. And going to be, you know, maybe ideally they'd go 20 to 22 carries for Mitchell, 8 to 10 carries for Debo, and then kind of let it see where it lays after that. But I mean, the Packers are on the only NFL team that's undefeated at home and a plus 111 point differential in those 8 games. Like this team is a monster at Lambeau. I realize that. I'm hoping in my dream, it'd be a game in the fourth quarter. That's what I'm hoping for. And you kind of give yourself a chance to win. But I understand that going against Rodgers in a game like this is going to be very tough. But let's get to Sunday. Sunday morning, we have the Rams at Tampa, a game that has been played already this year. The Rams won 34-24 in week 3. Obviously, two really good teams. The Rams are 7th in weighted DVOA. The Buccaneers are 4th. In his career, Tom Brady is 12-1 at home in the divisional round. Like, I really like the Rams in this game, but then I just every time I look at it, I'm like, can I really bet against Brady in this kind of situation? Because I think the Rams are the better team. My biggest concern is the Tampa offensive line banged up right now. Their center, Ryan Jensen, I think is his first name, is banged up. He sounds like he's going to play, but Tristan Wirfs is one of their most important offensive linemen. It sounds like he's really not going to play. He's very doubtful. It looks like the path for him is pretty cloudy there. It sounds like they don't expect him to play, and that's a big thing. Tom Brady as a protected quarterback versus Tom Brady versus the rush. Has been very, very different over the last 4 or 5 years. And he is obviously really, really still amazing. Most yards, most touchdowns, most completions, most attempts this year. But he needs a clean pocket. There's no doubt. He's not getting out. He's not Kyler Murray getting around out there. The Rams are 12-3 in the Eastern time zone when Sean McVay is their coach. Like, they travel pretty well, which is a tough stat. Like, those West to East games are usually pretty hard, especially this is an early one also. I kind of like the Rams as the better team, but man, I don't know how you click the not bet on Tom Brady in the spot either.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that the news about those Buccaneer offensive linemen is going to be really important. Wirf was an All Pro this year, and I think Jensen made the Pro Bowl as well. That's, you know, really important when you're going up against Aaron Donald, especially, and also Von Miller on that side.
Von Miller looked like Von Miller last week for the first time, really, too. Like, he had a play, and it's not even a sack or anything, but he had a play like a screen pass or a bubble screen. I forget, it was off to the side. And he made a tackle. I'm like, oh, that DB really made a great play. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Von Miller. Like, he just looked fast, looked quick, looked agile. Yeah, I'm worried that maybe he's finally back.
Yeah, he looked great. That's part of, when comparing the games, that was part of the reason why I preferred the Tennessee-Cincy game to this one. I mean, you know, you got to look for small things. I mean, you can make arguments for all these games. But if, like you said, if Brady's not protected – the Rams have a really good defensive line, and could be tough to come by if they don't have those linemen. Also, the Rams O-line is banged up. Somebody's out. I forget who it might be, Whitworth, or he's questionable, or I suppose I should have looked that up. But either way, the Bucks have, you know, we know they have a great run defense. Stafford, he's been pretty hot and cold this year. You know, his pick sixes have been well documented. But yeah, I want to like the Rams too. It's just, it's one of those things, like Brady never seems to lose in these spots. And I've been against Brady multiple times in past seasons, and he pretty much beats me every time, like you say. So yeah, I want to like the Rams too. I mean, is Brady just going to keep doing it? Maybe. This is a tough game for me.
Yeah. It is Andrew Whitworth, by the way. He did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday, so he's the one that's up in the air. He's obviously very important for their offensive line. But, yeah, I mean, fun game. I'm looking forward to watching this game, but I think I agree with you. And the interesting part of this game for me is that both teams really, really play the run well. So, like, you've got to think that both teams – I mean, I think Brady threw it 65 times or something in their first matchup. Granted, they were behind the whole game, but like, these are two teams that, like, the running game, I mean, Cam Akers looked pretty good last week, not per carry, but like, he kind of looked like he had that burst and had a nice catch. But you just wonder if this is going to be both teams dropping back to throw 50 times just because they can't run the ball. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic that way. And I do kind of like it from a DFS perspective for the passing game, just because I think both teams are going to struggle to run the ball. You know, we don't know how healthy Leonard Fournette is. He said he's going to play, you know, and playoff Lenny says he's going to play, you know, you know, he's going to play. But I think it's an interesting game because I think both teams are going to have to throw the ball, and that opens it up a little bit for us kind of playing from the fantasy angle. Last game is the big game in terms of stats and fantasy and names. It's Buffalo and Kansas City. I think everybody in the AFC has been circling this game. I think we all thought it was going to be the AFC Championship game, but they play a week early. Tennessee beat both of them to earn the number one seed, so here we are. Easily the highest total of the week at 53.5. The Bills won this game pretty handily in week five. It was 38-20. They were up a little bit more than that, I think, going into the fourth quarter. But the KC defense is, or the KC offense is different than it was the first half of the year. They lead the NFL in percentage of drives scored and scoring touchdowns the last 6 weeks. Like, they are rolling right now. I think the key to this game, the Bills have a definitely a much better defense when you look at stats. They both have great offenses. The Bills have faced a lot of weak offenses. They haven't faced a lot of top 10 offenses. And the ones that did scored some points on them. I think it was Tennessee and KC. And there was one other team they played in there that scored a lot of points on them. But I think it's clear the Bills statistically have a better defense, but you know, with these two quarterbacks, I'm not sure defense is going to matter too much.
Yeah, this game is going to be very popular for DFS.
Yeah, obviously, yeah,
rightfully so. You know, it has the highest total by a considerable margin, and then there's some really soft salaries in this game. We'll get into the players later, but Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Travis Kelce, all priced down.
I couldn't believe Hill's price when I was flipping through. I looked at the top. I'm like, I wonder what Tyreek Hill's price is. And I'm like, I kept scrolling, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't used to seeing him under 8K, and now under 7K, down to 6,600. Seems crazy too cheap for Tyreek, and even the quarterbacks are a little bit cheaper than we've seen them for the type of ceiling that they have. So yeah, it's going to be a popular game. What I personally think, I don't know. I've been really impressed with Josh Allen recently. It's hard for me to go against him. I could see him getting revenge for last year's AFC title game. I don't know, you know, perfect game against New England last weekend. It was all touchdowns, no punts.
Yeah. Unless you count the kneel down at the end, every single drive was a touchdown, which is just, it doesn't happen in the NFL. The only thing they did badly was miss two extra points and had one off the upright. Like, it's just that the kicker, like, everybody's talking about Tyler Bass, because it was nothing else to pick apart in that game.
Yeah, I know. I've heard some people say, you know, maybe they sort of, sort of shot their shot a bit too early. But I don't really believe that. I think they're playing the best that they have all season. So it should be a great game.
I love this team. They're actually my pick to win the Super Bowl, but this is the game. Like, this is you look at it and, you know, at KC, Mahomes is dealing right now. This is a really tough game. Like, I actually think the winner of this game definitely wins next week, and I'd probably be my pick to win the Super Bowl. So this game is as marquee as it gets. And this is my favorite weekend in the NFL. Like, we get next week is great, but you only have two games. And it's like, you're like, okay, well, there's only two games. It's not as fun. You know, you're used to like so many games a weekend. Last week, we always get some blowouts in that wild card game. This is my favorite week. Like, you very rarely get a bad least game on paper. You get the best teams playing. So this is always my most fun week, especially definitely the playoffs. I mean, Super Bowl is good, but like, it's one game and there's so much hype and there's 2 weeks of hype. But this week is great. So let's jump into some players, some positions. I think we're going to just go by position this week. There's only four games, you know, kind of breaking down popular and all that kind of stuff is not quite as important as in a regular week. So let's talk quarterbacks. Where are you leaning? I mean, we've got – you talk about a stable of superstar quarterbacks you get to pick from this week. You only get to pick one in a lineup, too. I mean, obviously, you play multiple lineups, you can mix them around. But what are you doing at quarterback? Are you Allen Mahomes? Are you one of the NFC games? Where do you think you're going at quarterback if you got to pick, you know, a couple guys to kind of focus your cores around?
Yeah, I'd love to get up to Allen or Mahomes. For me, it's probably Allen. Just, you know, based on what we just talked about, I like the Bills. And then Allen's rushing upside. It just makes him, I think, gives him that much higher of a floor and ceiling than Mahomes, at least on average. I don't know. So, yeah, I want to get up to one of those guys. The thing is, if you play one of the cheaper guys, you know, there's a lot of appealing spend-up options at receiver and tight end. You know, we have Kupp, Adams, Debo, Kelce, Gronk, Tyreek, you know, a lot of guys to spend for. If you want to play Derrick Henry, that's another guy. So that would be an argument for paying down. You mentioned that the Tampa Bay Rams game, that has a chance to see both teams passing a lot. You know, if that game goes a certain way, it could absolutely shoot out. And they're decent prices on Brady and Stafford. You know, Stafford Stafford lit up Tampa the first time they played. Four touchdowns. And then the cheap guys, I think you could take a shot on Tannehill or even Garoppolo. Like, you know, I don't love it, but Tannehill has rushing upside. If the Niners get down to the Packers, you know, Jimmy could get there. For 5,200, all he really needs to get is 20 points. And if your expensive guys go off, you know, Jimmy doesn't need to be the highest scoring quarterback for that lineup construction to work. So I think there's a lot of options. As I mentioned, I like the Cincinnati-Tennessee game. So I like Joe Burrow too. Like, I can't ignore how great he's been recently. The passing game looks great. He's throwing for tons of yards. So I like Burrow too. But I do want to get up to Allen. I don't know. Well, when we get into the other positions, I guess we'll see if there's enough value to I don't know, make it appealing. But what about you? What do you think of this, of these quarterbacks?
First question I want to ask: if you had to pick one in the high total AFC game, would you pick Allen or Mahomes? I mean, say they're only $300 apart, so you can make a decision. Is it Allen for you?
Yeah.
My thing with Mahomes is interesting. Is you look at game week five, and I know the Bills are obviously looking at that. Mahomes threw for 5.0 yards per attempt. He dropped back 63 times in that game. The Bills blitzed him zero times the entire game. They played umbrella. They played defense. They kept everybody in front, and it worked. It frustrated them. And granted, the Chiefs have figured that out, how to play against that in the second half of the season. But it's interesting. I mean, the Chiefs kill the blitz. If you blitz Mahomes and don't get there, like, it's a touchdown. Like, it's a big play. It's just the way it is. You have to think, at least to start the game, that the Bills are going to play the same defense. Like, it worked so well last time. They're going to have to do it. And I don't love their chance to make big plays if they do it, but, you know, they have figured it out. Andy Reid is obviously really good on offense, can figure stuff out. I think that first quarter of, like, how they're playing defense and how the Chiefs attack it is going to be decide what's going to go on. And I assume that they are obviously watching the same film that, you know, I don't watch that much film, but the same game we were watching, we know what they did. You got to think they have a way to combat it, but it's a really fascinating, just kind of a X's and O's standpoint. I go Allen too. KC does blitz a lot. It's key because Allen with pressure, without pressure is a different quarter. It's kind of like Brady in that he doesn't play as well with pressure. I mean, nobody does, but he's one that definitely takes a big step down with pressure. They blitzed a lot last year in the playoffs and got there and really affected Allen. They blitzed a lot earlier this season and didn't get there, and they got burned for it. It's a matter if that Bills offensive line can do it. But, I mean, Allen's really rushing a lot more lately, which I like. He had 66 rushing yards last week. You mentioned the perfect game passing, but he's been running the ball really well too. So it's Allen for me also. In the other games, for me, I mean, you can argue for any of these quarterbacks, but, you know, that doesn't really help too much anybody. For me, it's Rodgers if I'm playing in the middle, 7,100. I don't think the Niners can stop him. I think he's going to pick them apart. It's a matter of the Niners can keep scoring. You know, if they get up, maybe they start handing the ball off. But the Niners have been just killing the run game lately. Like, they've shut teams down on the run. I know that Green Bay, like you said, will want to run clock. They'll want to establish that run, but the Niners have been really strong against the run. They're middle of the pack in yards per attempt against quarterbacks, but they're 29th in completion rate. Like, the secondary is the weakness of this defense. If Bosa plays, you know, maybe that changes a little bit because they don't have to hold Green Bay receivers off as long. But the secondary is the weakness. I think Rodgers will know that. I think Matt LaFleur will know that. I just think it's going to be the way that they're going to attack the Niners. So I'd go there. And then I like Stafford at 6,200. I think if I'm going to go cheap, it'll be Stafford just because I think they're going to not be able to run the ball against Tampa Bay. He didn't throw it a lot last week, but was really good when he did. They only threw it 17 times. That game was kind of over at halftime. He had 343 yards and 4 touchdowns against Tampa in week 3. Tampa blitzes a lot. Stafford's really good against the blitz, makes people pay. You know, he lost Robert Woods from that first game, but gained Odell Beckham. And I don't, you know, they're not, I would take Woods obviously in a vacuum over Beckham, but I just have to think the Rams are going to have to throw it. You give me a ton of attempts in a game like this. And of the cheap guys, Stafford would be my play if I was trying to price down.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I think Rodgers, it's a good call on Rodgers. If that gamble worked out, it would really pay off because as it stands, I think he's going to be the least popular of all those quarterbacks. I think Rodgers and Garoppolo will be the two least popular quarterbacks. And we know Rodgers can go off in any matchup. So, you know, all he needs is 303 touchdowns. He can be the highest scoring quarterback, and it's going to go a long way if he's not popular.
I think it's a good point because you look at the guys in the 7,000s. I think everybody wants to play the late game, the marquee game, the Mahomes, Allen, and when they're so closely priced, you're gonna be like, I'm just gonna get to Mahomes or get to Allen. And if you're like, well, if I want to spend down, then you're gonna go, I'll just get to Brady, I'll get to Stafford, I'll get to Burrow. I think he's kind of lost in that middle of a little more expensive than the other guys. I think you're right. I think that he's the. I mean, nobody's gonna be, you know, super low roster this week just because there's only eight quarterbacks. But I think that Rodgers slides through. I really like him as a DFS play this week. I think that that's probably my favorite one, then Stafford's second favorite, with the thought that if I can get to Allen, I'll certainly have some lineups there too. But those are the three that I'm playing. And, you know, it's not that I don't like Mahomes or don't like Brady or don't like Burrow, but I just you got to pick and choose on a weekend like this. And I think those are the ones that I'm going with.
Yeah, you know, I think you've just convinced me to add Rodgers in there. I'm for sure going to go Allen and Burrow. I think I'll throw Rodgers in there as well. Nice.
I may just be a paranoid 49ers fan, but if I close my eyes, I can certainly see him just absolutely picking us apart. And it's just, it's scary because the secondary is the weakness, has been the weakness all year long. They've found a way to work around it, but against in games where they needed to get stops and on the pass game, they have a lot of games where they just couldn't get it. So,
yeah, I mean, I know I'm a Packers fan too, but I mean, so I'm a little biased, but it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I just can't believe how good he is, and he just.
I don't think you're biased to say that Aaron Rodgers is amazingly good.
No, he really is.
I'll admit that too.
Yep.
So let's jump into that. The other position. Let's get to running back, because running back's really interesting this week. But first, a note from our sponsors at WinBet. There's one thing I appreciate here at RotoWire. It's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino, take a spin on roulette, double down on blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is now currently available in 7 states: Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, all while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So let's get into running back. Running back is tough for me. Like, I looked at quarterbacks and receivers. I'm like, I like all these guys that pick easy. Like, it's hard to pick, but it's easy to find guys that you like. I'm going to start with the three running backs that are at the kind of top of the salary scale. We have Derrick Henry, $7,500. Aaron Jones is $6,800. Joe Mixon is $6,600. The interesting thing with the running backs this week is a lot of these defenses deep in the playoffs stop the run really well. So it's hard to find guys like, you know, there's no matchups here against Houston and Jacksonville and even the Chargers. Like, in those weeks, they were like, oh, this guy's going to run for 5.5 yards a carry. There's a couple in here, like the Packers run defense has struggled during the year, but maybe getting a little better right now. But between Henry and Jones and Mixon at the top here, are you excited about any of them? How do you feel about these three, the most expensive ones?
Yeah, I'm not overly excited about any of them. I'm a big Derrick Henry fan, and I normally like rostering him. I don't really, it's hard to have a take about Henry. Like, is he, how much are they going to use him? Is he fully healthy? I think the range of outcomes for Henry is very wide. You know, if he has some success, they could lean on him all game. We know he has games with 30 carries, 150 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's in the cards. I don't know how likely it is. It's tough to get up there. There isn't much value at the other positions, and there sort of is some value at running back. So I guess I understand.
Impossible question, but like, do you think he's like 30 touch Derrick Henry? Do you think they ease back on him with, you know, they have Hilliard and Foreman who have, you know, done some stuff during the year? Like, how heavy do you think they lean on him?
Yeah, what a tough question.
It's an impossible question, but I think you have to like, at least come up with an opinion in your own
you
head
do.
About
yeah, you do.
Decide what to do. Yeah.
I guess I'm thinking it's going to be 20 touch Derrick Henry. And, you know, maybe if he has 20 carries for 80 or 90 yards and, you know, 0 catches, 1 catch, you can get away with fading that. You know, I don't know. It's a gamble that could pay off. Obviously, you know, we know what kind of ceiling he would have if he's healthy. But you're right. It's tough to see, you know, I don't know. It's tough to see him sliding back in there and just getting 30 carries. I mean, what do you think? Do you have
I think the key is if you play him, you are absolutely giving up something else to get him in. Like, you're giving up a stud receiver, a stud quarterback. You have to do something in your lineup to get him in. The Bengals defense a lot has some injury concerns. They're a little bit banged up on the front. Like, I want to see some of those guys play. The Bengals struggled versus running backs late in the season. So like matchup wise, this works better than a lot of them, but 7,500 is tough for me to get there. I don't think I'm going to get there in most of my lineups. Just because I think I'd agree with you. I think we're looking at 18 to 20 touch Derrick Henry. And, you know, I know he looks good in practice clips and all, but like, and he's a robot and he'll probably be fine, but like, it's a tough injury to come back from. Like, everybody thought he was out for the season and he's coming back, but you know, maybe he's rested, maybe he's healthy. It's just tough for me to spend the money to get up there. What about Aaron Jones? You're the Packers fan here. It seems like he's been getting a little more involved in the offense the last couple of weeks. Like it was him, then he was hurt, and then it was kind of a split with Dylan for a while, and now it seems like Jones is maybe a little more involved. He was really good against the 49ers in week 3. He was 21 for 96 and a touchdown. It was kind of before A.J. Dillon really got involved in the offense, before the Niners really started being better against the run. He only averaged 12 touches per week the last 6 games of the season. That went up a little bit the last couple of weeks, but the 49ers are second in the league in yards per carry at 3.6 yards per carry. They allow a lot of catches, so you wonder. My thought with Jones is if he works, it's because he makes some plays in the passing game.
Yeah, I think that's how Jones works too. I find myself preferring Jones to Mixon. Because Mixon might be twice as popular. And if not that much, he'll be more popular. But I would rather target the passing game on the Cincinnati side. I think Tennessee's run defense, you know, is decent. And Mixon is averaging like 3 yards a carry in his last 6 games or something. As far as Jones, yeah, it's, you know, the split with Dylan, it wasn't great towards the end of the year. I think in the playoffs, you're likely to see a little bit more Jones. You know, the game means something. He's the number one running back. At least I think so. And I think he'll be involved in the passing game too, especially if the Packers are going to be, favoring shorter passes. Can see Jones catching 5, 6, 7 passes here, and he has a lot of touchdown upside playing for the Packers. So I think I lean Jones. I know I lean Jones between the two. What about you, just between those two, Jones and Mixon?
I lean Jones also. I'm maybe a little more worried about the split with Dylan than you are, but I would lean towards you because you're the Packers fan there. I think that, you know, maybe it gets cold and they want to use Dylan and kind of just – I just don't think the running up the middle will work very well. If it does, if the running up the middle works for the Packers, that game's over. Like, if they run the ball well, like, they're going to win the game. There's no doubt about that. I'm just worried about Mixon the way – I agree with you on that. I think I like the Cincy passing game a lot more too. I mean, the Tennessee's allowed under 10 fantasy points per game to running backs. They allowed 3.8 yards per carry. And you mentioned Joe Mixon. I mean, 3.3 yards per carry the last 6 weeks. Hasn't topped 65 yards or 4.0 yards per carry in any of those games. Not like he had a couple really bad games, a couple good games. Like, he scored and kind of he got involved in the passing game a little bit to kind of, make that look okay. But, like, I worry about the effectiveness right now. I would lean Jones also. I think Jones is going to make some play in the passing game. I think he has a chance. I think Jones has a much higher ceiling, put it that way. I think that Jones could make a couple plays in the passing game and look a lot better than Mixon. So I would lean that way among those guys too. I'm not sure I'm going to get to any of them, because I think that the mid-range is really interesting. I think the mid-range is where these contests can be decided, at least at running back. We've got Devin Singletary's at 5,900. Eli Mitchell's at 5,800. Fournette, if he plays, sounds like he's going to 5,700. Cam Akers, who looked had some bursts last week, at 5,500. We got Michelle at 53, Dylan at 51. You have all the Kansas City running backs, and I think that a lot of that depends on injury news. If Williams and CEH don't play, like, McKinnon at 4,800 is going to be in everybody's lineup based on how good he looked last week. But if they all play, it becomes really muddled. What are you doing with this mass of guys that, you can make an argument for, but all have some warts too?
Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify, even though I prefer Jones to Mixon, doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be getting to either of them. I just think Mixon is a better DFS play this week if you want to take a chance there. Like you said, you can make some arguments for all these guys and you can make some arguments against them. Leonard Fournette, playoff Lenny, it seems like he's going to be the most popular. I mean, it's a cheap salary. We talked about this last week and he didn't end up playing, but it's just a cheap salary if he's, you know, close to healthy or going to get the usage he had been. The one thing I'll say is, you know, a lot of Fournette's appeal is because he was so involved in the passing game. I mean, seeing a ton of targets, catching, you know, seven balls almost every game. But with Gio Bernard back now, and Bernard looked pretty good, and they were using him on third down earlier in the year. I think that's how, you know, that can take away from Fournette's pass catching upside. Still a good salary though, $5,700 for Fournette. I do like Singletary. You know, Singletary's been great, and it's a good salary. He's still cheap for that type of usage, catching a few passes, around 20 touches for and a lot of touchdown upside. You know, he's been scoring touchdown in five straight weeks, two touchdowns in the last each of the last three, I believe. Pretty good for the potent Bills offense, you know, to get the sort of their bell cow running back for under 6K. So I do like Singletary, and I like Eli Mitchell too. We talked about at the start the 49ers blueprint for winning this game is on the ground. And Mitchell, I think, has at least 22 touches in six straight, I believe. And a game that sticks out in my mind was in December at Lambeau. The Packers could not stop Nick Chubb or anyone who ran the ball for Cleveland, but specifically Chubb. Like, they should have lost that game if it wasn't for bad play calling by the Browns. And so I've seen the Packers sort of get run over. So, I mean, Eli Mitchell definitely could rush for 100 plus and a TD in this spot. That's what the Niners want to do. I know the Packers got some defenders back, but still, so I think if I had to pick, Singletary, Fournette, and Mitchell, I guess, to summarize. Yeah, Cam Akers looked great, but I just tend to avoid running backs against Tampa. But you can go there. And then KC, man, Darrell Williams just crushed me last week. Oh,
that was we talk about chalk bust. That might have been the biggest chalk bust of the year. Like, once CH out, everybody had Williams. He had minus points last week, and he fumbled twice on the same play. Like, and then he got benched. It was, and I kept looking up. I'm like, oh, is Darrell Williams hurt? Is he coming back in? And he just got benched for the fumble. And it's just, I know he's a little bit banged up with that. I think it was a toe anyway. So maybe they just decided not to do it once they got up. But yeah, that was, it was funny because my main DraftKings team last week, I didn't play Williams, and that team was really good because I played Mahomes. So it was one of those things. Like, I played Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill. And I didn't get to Williams because it didn't work out. It didn't work out lineup wise. I played in my other three lineups and it didn't work, but my first lineup was really good without him. But that was a big bust for sure.
Yeah, it was. And then I agree with you though. If even one of them's out, if both of them are out, yeah, McKinnon just a lock. But I see Edwards-Hilaire has practiced fully. At least he did on Thursday. That seems promising. But if Williams is out, I still think you can take a chance on McKinnon. I mean, that's just should be a good game environment, and he still should catch passes. I don't know. What do you think this range? Who do you like? Who's your lean?
Yeah, I mean, as I looked at it and I opened the slate, I was pretty much like Singletary and Mitchell, and I'll just call it a day, and I'll play those two. I'll save the money on the top guys. I'll spend a little more than the bottom guys, and I'll call it a day. But I wonder if a lot of people are going to go to that. Like, you just wonder, like, they kind of stick out. I mean, Singletary, especially under 6,000, he's just been clear. I mean, the problem in the offense playing running backs early on was there was him and Zach Moss or him and Matt Breida. Like, they were kind of splitting. He's like 90% of the touches the last 6 weeks. I think he's 85%. So he's above 80% of the touches the last 6 weeks. Like, it's been Singletary and nobody else. Like, they use him a little more at the goal line. Like, used to be Josh Allen would just run it in. Now Singletary's getting touchdowns. The key for me here is that Kansas City was 30th in the NFL in yards per carry. Like, we talked about, so many teams are good at stopping the run. Kansas City is not one of those teams. They have been better as a defense the second half of the year. I know that they've done a lot of things better, but they still, I think you can still run the ball against them. I think Buffalo wants to run the ball against them. I think it'll be Allen and Singletary. But then you get Mitchell's the same kind of thing. Like, Green Bay is 4.3 yards per carry. They're about middling. But like you said, they got thrashed by some running backs at spots. And no other running back touches it for the 49ers. They didn't have a running back to touch the ball last week. Except, I mean, Debo gets his 8 to 10 carries, and that's, I think it works really well. And the key for me is that you put both those guys back there and you run one in motion and you do something, everybody follows Debo. Like, it just, it's set up for Mitchell to do well. They're, and the Niners are stubborn as hell. If they're down 14-0, they're not going to stop running the ball, at least, you know, early in the fourth quarter, sure. But, like, they're going to establish the run. They're going to try and run no matter what. If it's not working, they're just going to run it again. Like, they won't go away from it until you get to a point where there's no choice but to go away from it. So, those two for me. But I think what that does is it makes the other guys in this range interesting, because I think they're going to be lower roster than those top two. I think that Singletary and Mitchell will be very popular. I agree with you on Akers. Like, I just playing a guy against Tampa Bay to run the ball is really tough. He looked good. He had a 40-yard catch. He played 32 snaps more than Sony Michel, which I think is the most important stat there, is, you know, how much he played. But Singletary and Mitchell, I think, stick far ahead for me. I think Jerick McKinnon, if someone's hurt, sticks out too at 4,800. I mean, he caught six passes last week. He had 12 carries. You just kind of wonder if maybe somewhere in Andy Reid's head, like, they were kind of saving him to just deploy him in the playoffs. Like, he's someone that you can't use a ton during the season because he's going to get hurt. But he certainly has always been very skilled. He was on the Niners the last few years, and I always, like, just wanted him to get healthy and see what he could do in that offense. Just never happened. There are a couple bursts he had. But in this offense right now, if they use him that way, he's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, agreed. And I think just going with Singletary and Mitchell, yeah, it's going to be popular, but you can get different in other places. I mean, both those guys are – yeah, I agree with everything you said. It's a good salary, good salaries on both, and they seem like the best plays to me too.
And you will get people that go up to Mixon and Henry and Jones, so maybe that separates that a little bit. But those guys, price-wise, those guys definitely stuck out to me. But let's get to wide receivers. We mentioned earlier, we've kind of talked about them already, but wide receivers are the stars of this slate. I mean, we talked about all the quarterbacks, but there are just unbelievable amount of stud wide receivers. And we talked about, like, the number ones for each team are all good. Like, that's eight guys right there. Then you've got mid-range guys. You've got, you know, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Odell Beckham, Tyler Boyd scored 4 weeks in a row. So you've got some guys down the list. But let's talk about the guys at the top. We've got four guys over 7,000, two over 8. Cooper Kupp's 8.6, Devontae's 8.5, Debo's 7.6, Jamar Chase is 7.1. My favorite here, I like Devontae more than Kupp. I just think Devontae thrashes the Niners. 130-plus yard games in 4 of 5. Not just 100, 130-plus. And then in the fifth game, he scored also. He averaged nearly 100 yards a game the last seven games. I don't think the Niners can slow him down. That is nothing against Cooper Kupp, who I like in a matchup where the Rams are going to have to throw the ball a ton. His targets are down a little bit the last 3 weeks, you know, 7 a game instead of, you know, 13. But I think it's a game where the Rams are going to throw a lot. So nothing against Kupp. I just prefer Adams. And I really like Jamar Chase this week. 7,100. I wonder if people are going to be able to get to him if they want to play one of the top guys. Maybe they have to go down in the sixes, but really good. I mean, he looked great last week. He had 12 targets. He was 9 for 116 in their game against the Raiders. Tennessee is the worst in the NFL in fantasy points to wide receivers. They get up a lot in the passing game. I think Chase is really, really a good play, 7,100. I think maybe he gets lost a little bit in that price range. But for me, it's Adams and Chase. Where are you in this group?
I agree with everything you said. Yep. We can make it easy. Make it quick. Obviously nothing against Kupp. He's amazing. Slightly prefer Adams. I know he's going to see double digit targets. Like you said, he's shredded the 49ers. And I love Chase. I talked about how I was on Burrow in the passing game. I really couldn't be more impressed with Chase recently. And I do think, yeah, he goes a little bit lost. Being that people will want to get up to Kupp and Adams, or if they go down, it will be for, you know, Tyreek or Diggs or even AJ Brown. But yeah, I love Chase's upside. I think he can have a huge game here. And then, you know, we didn't even talk about Debo. My
favorite play in the NFL right now. So I love Debo to death. The dude's a beast.
I love Debo too. As far as his DFS viability, I think he's more touchdown dependent than the others. You know, he's not going to catch 10 balls like these other expensive guys. However, he's still probably their biggest touchdown threat. I mean,
he's going to get 10 carries too, which is pretty
nice. He's going to get 10 carries, which is really nice. And, you know, it gives him a lot of upside. So I think he's riskier, but obviously you can always play Debo. But I'm with you. Adams and Chase for me.
There's a great clip from the game last weekend when he scored his rushing touchdown where he went around the end and cut it back in the middle. He's coming off the field and he tells Kyle Shanahan, I told you. And Shanahan's response is, thank you for telling me.
That was awesome.
It was pretty wild. That was a great clip. And you could tell that Shanahan just loves Debo too. Yeah. So let's jump into the mid-range receiver is unlike any mid-range we've had all year. Usually we're like, you know, there's guys in here, you know, we like Brandon Cooks. We like guys that, you know, maybe break out. The mid-range receivers we get 6,000s are Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, and A.J. Brown. Like, we're talking about stud wide receivers are usually in the mid-7s, maybe up into the 8s. What the heck are you doing in this range with these guys? You can't play them all, but, you know, they'll all be popular. They'll all be interesting. Do you have a preference between these guys? Because it's hard not to like all of them. You look at the price and you're like, oh, my God, how do I not play Tyreek Hill at 1,600? How do I not play Diggs at 6,500? How do I not play A.J. Brown at 6,200? What are you going to do with these guys? Because you have to pick and choose at some point.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, you can prefer any of these guys, I guess. I don't know, like, for me, so it's tough for me not to play Tyreek Hill. As the first one. Now that's tough because I said I preferred Josh Allen and, you know, do it. So it would make me want to pair him with Diggs. But I don't know. I think we've seen enough times now that you just don't need to do that. Not for Allen to get there. And just Diggs, you know, he hasn't been great. And there's a lot of pass catchers in Buffalo that Allen spreads the ball around to. I still think, you know, it's a good salary for Diggs. It's the cheapest we've seen all season. He can have a big game, but it's hard not to roster Tyreek for 6,600. I mean, like you mentioned, this is where this is the salary of, you know, DJ Moore and Jalen Waddle and, you know, even Brandon Cooks some weeks. And I don't know. I thought Tyreek looked good. He's supposedly healthy. So, yeah, hard not for me to go there. And I do like A.J. Brown a lot, too. I think he's a perfect run back. If I'm going to stack Cincy, I think there could be some, you know, if Henry isn't going to run the ball 30 times, you know, and maybe he's not 100% healthy, they should run some play action and it should work much better. And you know, Brown has big upside. So I like going there and yeah, I guess that's kind of where I'm at. I like Higgins too, but that's a little bit cheaper. I don't know. You know, it's tough not to, you know, we like all these guys. But I guess if I had to pick one, it's probably Tyreek. I don't know. It's just too tempting for me. What about you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and find a way to play two of them in some lineup, definitely in as many of my lineups as I can. I mean, it's funny because I did game by game just by the time they start. So I started with Cincy and Tennessee, and I'm like, oh my God, A.J. Brown 6,200. That's going to be 100% owned. And then I realized I got into the other players. I'm like, oh, well, there's other guys in 6,000s too. Mine is actually Tyreek also. I think just the targets are guaranteed. I think that if Buffalo plays the way they played last time, he's going to get 13 targets underneath. And it's going to be huge in PPR. He may not hit that big play, but you're going to get, he had 13 targets. I think in the first game, he was 7 for 63, which is not very exciting, but a not very exciting 13 point floor. Like, you can build on that. He could hit a big play. He could score on one of those short passes. I just think the targets are guaranteed built. He played 80%, 77% of the snaps last week, which is the key to me coming off that heel injury. Diggs is like fascinating. He had two games over 100 yards all year after the huge monster year last year. Kansas City with 29th in fantasy points to wide receiver ones. Like, they got beat by wide receiver ones. He led the NFL in end zone targets, but like, they just spread the ball around more. Like, there's Dawson Knox in the red zone. There's Cole Beasley. There's Emmanuel Sanders scored last week. There's Gabriel Davis scored last week. They just have a lot of guys, and they're just a little more spread it around, I think, than these other teams are. So just I think Diggs will be – I mean, he had four targets last week. That's it. I mean, they just spread the ball around, and they scored five. Yeah, Allen had five touchdowns, and Diggs had four targets. Like, it's just a little concerning. But it's Stephon Diggs. He's awesome. Maybe in a game like this, you lean on him a little more. But I think I'd lean Tyreek also in this group. If I had to pick one, it'd probably be Tyreek. If I had to go two, I'd go Diggs over Brown. I think Brown has huge upside and is nice in the fact you play the game that's not as popular. But it's a little. He's very boom or bust. Like, he has eight games under 50 yards, but the booms are huge. I probably just trust his quarterback less than I do the other guys, which at the same price, I would go Hill first and then Diggs second.
Makes sense.
In the in the cheaper area. Let's go just the fives real quick, and then we'll get down to the really cheap ones. You're going to have to play some of these guys to get other players in. T. Higgins, 5,700. Odell Beckham, 5,300. Brandon Ayuk, 5,200 are the guys in this range. Do you have one in this range that really sticks out to you especially well?
Probably T. Higgins. Yeah, probably.
Hard to argue that. I mean, you're right. He kind of has the down games, he tends to bounce back pretty well.
I will say, though, because Chase has been so successful and the Burrow's been looking for him so many times, Chase is seeing double-digit targets now, there's a good chance that could happen again. And if that does happen, that's not good for Higgins. I mean, a similar thing could happen to what's been happening. But that's just one scenario. So Higgins is his salary is down now for the type of upside he has. So I prefer Higgins. Between Beckham and Ayuk, probably a slight lean to Beckham. I don't know. What do you think about that range?
It's tough. I mean, Ayuk has weirdly been consistent the last like 3 months. After he got out of the doghouse, he has double-digit PPR scoring at 8 of 11, 6-plus targets in 7 of 9. He's better against zone coverage with Green Bay, pays a lot. But I really like Odell Beckham the most in this group, 5,300. They are using him in the red zone, which I like. I mean, when they get to the point, they get down there, they seem to throw the ball to him. His TDs are short, but he's getting them. I just think the Rams are going to have to throw the ball a ton in this game. I worry the Niners are going to run the ball a lot. If they get a lead, which I doubt's going to happen, but they'll run the ball a ton. If they're down, I think they still run it a lot. And you have to hope that you get that big play to Ayuk, which is always there. And he hit one last week, I think, for 35 yards, and he had 66 yards receiving. But like, I would just rather count on Stafford and the Rams passing him, having to throw the ball a lot against Tampa. And I think that Beckham is will be very involved. He was 4-54 in a touchdown last week. Didn't look like a lot, but Stafford threw the ball 17 times. Like nobody was really dominating. I think the price is right for Beckham. I think he gets lost a little bit here. I think a lot of people are going to go cheaper and then more expensive. I think the 5,000s will be kind of skipped over. I really like Beckham this week. 5,300, I'm going to have him in a bunch of spots, especially paired up with Stafford. Cheap wide receivers. Let's go under 5,000. There's a lot of guys in this range that are playable. And as we get a slate like this, good quarterbacks, their secondary and tertiary options, that become very interesting. What are you doing in the 4,000s or even 3,000s range week? Who are you going to in order to get some guys in your lineup that are more expensive?
Okay, so I think you could roster any of those Bills, Gabe Davis, Sanders, or Beasley. That situation it's still sort of like roulette, though, to me. And I can't really see one of them getting too many targets. They're definitely touchdown dependent. So, you can go there for tournaments, of course. But I think I prefer Alan Lazard for one. Assuming Valdes-Scantling misses, I just think Lazard will see more volume than the Bills guys. I mean, he's caught at least 5 passes in back-to-back games, 6 targets, 7 targets. With Valdes-Scantling out, his targets seem somewhat safe for that salary. And I also like Byron Pringle. Same thing, at least 7 targets in 3 out of the last 4, at least 5 catches in 3 out of the last 4. And, he's 2 touchdowns last week. He had 2 touchdowns a couple weeks before that. A $4,200 receiver that's playing with Patrick Mahomes in the game with the highest total. I guess I feel best about that. What about you?
Yeah, you kind of took my two favorite. I really like Alan Lazard this week, 4,400, 8 TDs the last 10 games, 4 in the last 3 games. You look at it, he leads the team in red zone targets in that stretch. He has 9 end zone targets since then. The targets you mentioned are there, 6-7. He had a 4, a 5, a 6, and a 6. Like, that's not huge, but with Aaron Rodgers, like, those are usually completions. That's really good. He was 6-for-72 in touchdown and 5-75 and 2 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. I just think that it's trending towards him being more involved in the offense. I think that, whoever the Niners put on him is not going to be great. They're their cornerback. And Mosley's going to guard Devontae Adams. And probably not overly well. Nobody guards Devontae well, but that puts, you know, a rookie Ambry Thomas, if he's healthy, on Lazard. I think that Rodgers will like to try and exploit that matchup a bunch. You know, maybe if they line him up in the slot, they get K'Wan Williams on, it's a little better for the Niners. But, you know, K'Wan Williams got beat for the touchdown by Amari Cooper last week. I think Lazard set up pretty nicely to be involved this week as Rodgers kind of tries to pick apart the Niners secondary. I think Pringle makes sense too. And, you know, when he gets those targets, he usually scores. They tend to use him nicely in the red zone. He had two touchdowns last week. So that if I had to pick a secondary guy, KC would be Pringle. If I had to pick a secondary guy in Buffalo, your point on them being kind of roulette is dead on. Like, you just don't know. I'd probably go Gabriel Davis because I think he has a little more upside than the other guys. I think he's more likely to hit a big play. They like him in the red zone too. The last guy I'll mention down here is really cheap. He's $3,700. Is Tyler Johnson for the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers are going to have to pass the ball out in this game. You look at it, the box score does not jump out last week. He was 2 for 30 with 3 targets, but he was 4th in the team in targets. He was behind Evans, but he was behind Gronk and Geo, which is concerning. Like, they use the tight end, the running backs. But if I had to pick a secondary receiver there, it'd be Johnson at 37. I think he's a nice way to save some salary this week. And I think the Bucs are just going to have to throw the ball. I think that the way the Rams stop the run, the way this game plays out, I think both teams are going to throw the ball a lot. I think Brady is going to, you know, want the ball in his hands, try and win the game. And I think they're gonna pass a lot. So if I had to go under 4 for me, it'd be Tyler Johnson at 3,700.
Yep, totally agree. I plan on rostering some Johnson. Agree with everything you said. One last guy to mention in this range. Yep. Randall Cobb's 3,100. And, you know, this is only if, you know, Valdez-Scantling is out, but it looks like he's going to be. Cobb will be the slot man. You know, for 3,100, it's basically minimum salary. We've seen Rodgers target him in the end zone. Even this season, Cobb's caught a few touchdowns. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he catches 5 shortish passes and gets in the end zone. Could even catch something over the middle. We've seen him do that this season too. So I don't mind like taking a chance for 3,100.
Yeah, we know Rodgers loves Randall Cobb, so I think that also helps too. What about tight end? We've got some elite guys at the top. We have Kelce, Gronk, and Kittle. Kelce 6,500, which still seems low for Travis Kelce. We talked about him last week, and I played him in my best lineups, and it worked really well. We talked about how he was, the price, it really worked well for him last week, and he delivered. Gronk was kind of quiet last week, but did score. Kittle was quiet again. He's been quiet for like 4 weeks, but, you know, always, obviously, a huge weapon. I think Dallas keyed on him. There were a couple of plays where they were clearly drawn for Kittle, and like everybody jumped to Kittle on like a rollout, and everybody jumped him, and someone was open behind him. I think Dallas was pretty keyed on stopping George Kittle, especially in play action. Dawson Knox scored twice last week. What are you doing at tight end this week? You're only going to play one. I don't think this is a 2 tight end week like a lot of lineups were last week with less options in some of the shorter slates. But where are you siding here? Are you just going to pay the price for Kelce? You're going to try and get creative lower.
Man, great job playing Kelce. I wasn't brave enough, and I ended up having Gronk in my most important lineups. Kelce made all the sense. We even spoke about it. And you know, he's even cheaper now. This is the cheapest salary we've seen on Kelce all season. So
yeah, he went. Really he had a big game, throws a touchdown pass, and goes down in salary.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do want to get to Kelce. I will get to Kelce on some lineups. I think Gronk is – I'd be okay with going back to Gronk, too. I can see him getting a lot of targets here. I mean, it depends, I guess, what the Rams are going to do with Jalen Ramsey. Sometimes they put him on Gronk, sometimes not. I don't know. Like, I don't know how we're going to know that. We won't be able to know that. But, you know, if Ramsey ended up covering more of Evans, I think it's a pretty good spot for Gronk. They're already short pass catchers in Tennessee. So the top two guys are who I'm most interested in. I can't really go back to Kittle. He's burned me a lot lately. Look, I get it. I love George Kittle. I think he's a great player. But I think he's been staying in to block a little more. I think, you know, they're going to run the ball with Mitchell. They're definitely going to get Debo his touches. Jimmy G is going to throw to Ayuk as well. You know, of course, Kittle can still do it, but I'm worried about those low target numbers that we've seen. I like rostering Knox if I'm playing Allen. I don't think he'll be that popular, and he just scored two touchdowns. He has tons of touchdown upside playing in that offense. I think there's some cheaper guys you can go with too. I think you can go with Higbee, a good salary on Higbee. We've seen plenty of games where he's Stafford's favorite target for at least part of those games. Eight targets, nine targets in two out of the last 3 weeks. So I think that's a good option. And then I think you can play Uzoma if you really want to save money. Again, he saw at least six targets last week, caught all six of them, scored a touchdown. So I don't know. That's kind of how I feel. What about you?
I love Higbee this week at 4,000. You look at his targets the last three regular season games, 6, 9, and 8. Like, he's really involved. And if you watch the game last week, like he had four targets and they only threw 17 passes. Like, a really nice target percentage, and that's 4 weeks in a row with a nice target percentage. He was 3 for 46. They are really using him in the pass game. And I've mentioned it a bunch of times, I think the Rams throw the ball a ton this game. So if I go cheap, it's going to be Higbee. I am super tempted this week by Kittle because I think the points you made, I think everybody's going to agree there. I think that's a really good football player for 5,300. And it's been rough. I think everybody will look at it and be like, I'll just play the price for Kelce. I'll just pay up to get Gronk, or I'll pay down to get Higbee or Zoma. I think he gets lost in the middle. I think everybody's going to want to play all these receivers, these quarterbacks. I think Kittle goes really, really under rostered this week. And I am super tempted just from kind of a game theory DFS perspective to give him a shot because the upside there is real. We saw it in the middle of the year. He had three big games. At 5,300, I think that he's very well priced. And I think that he's going to be very under owned. So I think that I'm going to try and get Kittle into lineups just to be different on a stud player and hope that maybe the game plan works out. I understand it's a bit of a shot in the dark. He's been really quiet for 4 weeks, and I agree that they want to run the ball, but man, if they can get Kittle going, like, I think it changes the offense a bunch, and he's cheap, and I think he's going to be overlooked.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it makes a ton of sense from a game theory perspective. It would pay off in a big way. Just one last thing I'll say. I mean, if CJ Uzoma is viable for 3,400, then I think Josiah DeGara is too. And if for nothing else than game theory, because you know Uzoma, he might be 20% owned, 15% rostered in most tournaments, and DeGar will be, you know, 2 or 3%, but they're similar. He has touchdown upside. DeGar has seen 3, 4, 5 targets every week. And you know, never mind a tight end playing with Rodgers. So if you're going to spend down, you could get leverage in that spot.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that when people see Uzoma and Higbee, I don't think anybody gets down to DeGara, but I think that, you know, you get a tight end with Aaron Rodgers, that's always a really good thing too. Finally, before we wrap up here, we got to play defense again this week. Who are you playing at defense? It's tough this week because there are a lot of good quarterbacks the defenses are going against.
You know, I'm not really partial to any of them. The Titans are projecting as the most popular, but I don't know, only because they're at home against Burrow, who's been sacked a lot, and yep. Cincinnati, you know, good of a line, but they were good against the Raiders last week. I think Burrow only got hit twice or yep. knocked on twice or something. I don't know. I guess you're forcing me to pick the Buccaneers or Rams with the offensive lines banged up in that game. We've seen Stafford throw plenty of picks, and Brady will take sacks. I mean, he got sacked by the Eagles a bunch of times last week, 4 or 5 at least. And if they're down, those offensive linemen, and the Rams have just a good defense, a lot of good players. So I don't know, one of those defenses. What about you?
Yeah, I think Tennessee jumps out. They're 2,900. Burrow gets sacked a ton. You mentioned he didn't last week, and that's true. But they have double-digit sacks the last 6 weeks, so they get after the quarterback pretty well themselves. So I think that's going to be the popular one, especially under 3,000 as a home favorite off a bye. I think Green Bay is interesting. I think that I don't love Green Bay's defense, but 3,200. I think we've seen that in the cold – Jimmy's got a thumb. He's got a shoulder. I think he will make a couple plays that I will cringe at. I like Jimmy Garoppolo, the person, the leader. Everybody in the clubhouse loves him. I like the guy, but he's going to make a couple overthrows. He's going to make a couple mistakes. He's going to make a couple bad decisions. It's just a matter of those decisions are bad incompletions that, you know, make you punt, or they're picks or pick sixes that change the game and really are huge for a defense. So I think I'd go Green Bay over Tampa and the Rams, but I get that argument too with the beat up offensive lines. The Niners sacked Stafford five times in week 18. He makes some bad mistakes too. I think he had three or four pick sixes on the year. Like, he had a lot of those, but I'd go Green Bay. I'd go Tennessee. I think those are the top two for me, but I mean, picking defense this week is tough. I mean, you're facing elite Hall of Fame quarterbacks on both sides in a lot of situations here. So there's not a lot of spots to pick from, but yeah, if I got to pick, and I do have to pick one, I'm going Green Bay and Tennessee.
Yeah, I think the Packers call makes sense. It's just hot, being a Packers fan, it's hard for me to roster the Packers. I don't know, just for whatever reason. But Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander back.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah. And in cold Lambeau Field with Jimmy making mistakes. Yeah, makes all the sense in the world.
And I think Za'Darius is really the key. If you pressure Garoppolo, like, bad things happen. If he can take his drop, look back, boom, hit a pass, he's very effective. But man, you take that first read away and you get a little pressure. He either takes a sack or rolls out and panics and makes a bad play. I very much hope that doesn't happen. But I know I've watched a lot of their games, obviously the last few years, and Jimmy makes some great plays, but he will make a couple mistakes each week. It's just a matter of the other defense, what they turned into.
Yep, agreed.
Beautiful. I think we kind of hit everybody, you know, with only four games. I think it was important to kind of discuss as many players as we could and kind of talk about all the games, but I think we got there. Anything else you want to add before we jump out of here?
No, you're right. I think I think we hit everything.
You're in London now. So what do you do for the Packers Niners game? So I'm going to do the math real quick. I know is that 3:30 in the morning for you? No, like 1:30. 1:30 or something like that?
1:30. Yeah, it's going to be tough. At some point, you know, I'll probably get like a 20-minute nap in at some point during the night.
20-minute. Beautiful.
Yeah, you know, it helps. Yeah, no, I won't miss that game for anything.
I'm going to get up and watch it live. Not, I'm going to tape it and watch in the morning and not.
Because, you know, I'll be making showdown lineups. I'll be watching the other game, which starts at 9:00. So that'll keep me up. You know, there's UFC on Saturday. There's a big card on Saturday, which also is in the middle of the night in London. So just all that stuff will just keep me up. It'll be tough though. I'll be dragging, but I won't miss it.
I was going to say, I just realized that as we were talking, that game really slates at a really bad time for you. Like, the Rams-Bucks is really nice. It's probably like 6:00 for you. Like, that's a nice, like, Sunday night game right there. But I guess Bills-Chiefs will be tough, too. That's probably about a midnight game.
Yeah, of course, the Packers is the latest of all of them. But, yeah, we'll make it.
Beautiful. Well, Ryan, it was fun as always. I appreciate your time as always. I appreciate everybody listening. If you could please rate and review the podcast, it helps us out a lot. If you want to follow Ryan on Twitter, he's at Ryan BelongiA. I am at Scott Genstead. Genstead is Genstad. Other than that, we hope everybody has a fantastic week. I'd say go Niners, but I don't want to do that to my co-host here, so I'll just say hope we have a really good game. But one of us will be happy with, you know, at least there's that. We can't both lose this weekend, which is a good thing. So anyway, hope everybody has a really good weekend, and hope everybody enjoys all these great games, and take care. Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Good luck, everybody.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.